Two, one, roll the footage. Welcome back, everyone. I'm Seven Severino, your host. And today we will talk about helping type A superachievers like you guys become fulfilled, feel deeply connected, and have fun without burning out. So I have invited the expert who wrote a book about this, which is called Blow Your Nose to Work Smarter, Live Freely, and Create Legacy. She is also a lawyer and CEO of a healthcare company leading almost 4,000 employees. And she has spent years studying emotional reactivity and people like us. So, welcome everybody, Suzanne Moore.
Hi, Simon. So great to be back and great to see you.
Absolutely. Tell us, how did you start looking at super achievers and why?
You know, Simon, I think so often our personal experiences lead us down these roads. This book is a compilation of probably every mistake I've made along the way. And it's about getting out of your own way, because I look back and there were so many ways that I was getting in my own way. And a lot of it had to do with the type A overachiever personality, which is really beneficial in our career, but there's also some ways in which it can really get in our own way. And so for me, a lot of traumatic events really is what forced me to learn these lessons. And so I'd love for other people to be able to learn these lessons without going through all the things I went through.
And what are the dramatic events that you see in the people you are studying? Is it divorces, burnout, something else?
Yeah. So it's amazing. You know, we think of these high achieving professionals, CEOs, lawyers, doctors, you know, all these individuals as being kind of on a pedestal and, you know, so emotionally in control and stable, right? And yet we also see that they have really high rates of burnout, substance abuse, relationships that are broken, families that are struggling, and even suicidality. I just read the other day that surgeons actually have one of the highest rates of suicide of any career. And so, you know, it's so tragic to think about these individuals who are so highly skilled and educated, who contribute so much to society, and yet struggle at this kind of level. With burnout and emotional trauma.
Why surgeons above others? What's your assumption?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. So the first chapter of my book delves into this a little bit without actually naming surgeons. But I think as a surgeon, you really have to turn your emotions off when you're when you're doing that procedure, right? You've really got to be so focused, so in the zone. You can't be feeling all the things. You can't be feeling sorry for that person. You can't be thinking, oh gosh, I hope I can do this surgery right. You can't be distracted by any of that. You have to perform. But in order to perform at that level and shut those emotions off, that there's a price you pay for that later, right? So when we shut our emotions off, unfortunately, there's not a way to kind of pick and choose what emotions we shut off. We either shut them off or we leave them on. And so I think it's probably difficult as a surgeon to juggle that super intense high pressure, perform at a really high level, shut your emotions down so you're able to do that, but then still be able to feel, you know, the rest of the day. I think it's probably really difficult.
I can imagine everyone listening right now goes, hey, wait, I'm the same. I have to function every day at my highest level of presence. I have to be here for multiple people on my team. You have 4,000 people on yours, for the clients, for the shareholders, for the stakeholders, for the press sometimes. Hey, that's me.
Right.
What is the learning? Should we allow more time for emotions, for digesting? Should we express them more?
Exactly. You know, to to function at that level, you're exactly right, Simon. There's so much pressure. And the key traits that I think are often so commonly found in this population of us, right, is hyper-independence. You know, we tend to not rely on others. We tend to rely on ourselves because we know we will perform under pressure no matter what. That is what we...
Nothing to see here. It's all fine. It's all fine. Nothing to see here.
That's right. Don't pull back the curtain. I got this. Super achievers want to fix everything. Everything they see, they want to make it right. They're, you know, they're very driven to do that. And they tend to need and love a high degree of control. And so all of those things are what help us perform really, really well and make the stakeholders happy and keep the employees in line. But to do all of that, we really have to kind of restrain and bottle up our emotions, because when our employees make us really mad, we can't react. We have to be calm and we have to navigate the situation. And when the stakeholders are frustrating us because all they want to talk about is the bottom line, we can't let that show. We have to navigate the situation. And so all of that bottling up of emotions can really start to take a toll. And I think what's so important is figuring out a way to, maybe not in the moment because you don't have time in the moment, but to later, you know, feel all of those things, process those things, release that energy so that you're not continuing to build up all this emotional baggage of all these compartmentalized feelings.
And what if we would express that in the meeting, in the situation with other people? Would it help to have a micro moment of sharing, like, I'm in a meeting, and instead of saying, all right, yeah, I'm on it, I would say, wow, I feel a ton of pressure right now. Where does this come from?
Yes, that is such a good point. Once you practice that, you can get faster and faster at it. So that's a great example, Simon. You know, if an event happens and you feel that overwhelming feeling, but you're trying to bottle it up because you don't want to react, right? You can really practice a technique where in a short span of time, you can feel the feeling, accept the feeling, kind of laugh the feeling off. You're not dismissing it, but you're like, okay, I feel really frustrated. I kind of want to punch this guy that's putting this extreme pressure on me. And that's okay. But I'm going to release this. And I love what you just said. You can inject some humor into the situation and be really honest and vulnerable. Wow, that's a lot of pressure. But you know what? I'm on it. I'm going to do my best in this situation. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. That's a great way to approach it.
The next thing you said is, we think we have to do it all alone. We are fully autonomous. We are driven to do it, to solve it faster alone. But now when we lead organizations, or when we lead in general, that mindset becomes a bottleneck, and even it's dangerous, right? Because nobody Yes. learns except of us. How do Yes. we get out of that trap?
Absolutely. You know, no one thrives in that mindset. And, you know, there's the old saying that it's lonely at the top, but does it have to be? Is it? And do you really want to be alone at the top, or do you want to bring your whole team with you? And I think one of the most important things that I've learned along the way, you know, super achievers do tend to think that their way is best, that they have all the answers, just give me the ball and I will go score. And, you know, you want to achieve that level of competence in your game, but it is also so important to stop and listen to your team. And it's really surprising when you do empower your team to speak up and share ideas. Sometimes their ideas are so much better than yours are. You know, I found that so many times where I was in a hurry, I just want to bulldoze my own way through things. And yet, if I make myself stop, let's talk to the team, let's get buy-in, let's see what their thoughts are. Wow, sometimes their ideas are so much better. And then it really does take that pressure off of you, and it helps them thrive and feel really engaged in the process.
Let's double click into this. We had recently in our community, I asked, all right, guys, we under pressure, most of us, we just grab the task, solve it quickly and move on. Mm-hmm. But what is actually happening? And then we started brainstorming and sharing more and more. And then we actually came to a point where we said, there is a self-belief here. If I don't do it, nobody's going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And before we feel that, because we hate to feel that, before we feel that, we just grab it, solve it, next.
Yes.
But I guess we shouldn't. So how do we deal with this feeling in the appropriate way?
Yeah. You know, it's really an ego and a fear-based feeling, right? So we have a fear that it won't get done unless we do it. And our ego tells us that we are the best person for the job every time. But there's no way to scale when your thought process is like that, because we have finite time and energy. We can only do so much on our own. So if we're trying to scale a company, the most important way we can invest our time is to into our teams, identifying their strengths, giving them some, you know, some boundaries around that, and then letting them go. They're going to make mistakes, but let's be honest, we make mistakes too. And so it's really about moving from a fear-based ego mindset to a more intuition-based empathy mindset, where you're really more focused on your team and what can they do and how do you empower them to do that.
I think you hit the point, because me, that's ego, and them, it's also ego, but in between it lies the reality and a more nuanced way of dealing with the current situation. Right, but both is
exactly.
Actually ego. I'm so important, I can't be bothered. I'm so important, I'm the only one who's fast and never makes mistakes, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, and I think too, you know, that's the super achievers, and I kind of look at it two different ways, right? I used to think about overachievers. Now I think about it in terms of let's be super achievers, meaning we achieve a lot, but we bring the whole team with us, and it's concerted effort, and it's recognizing all the different strengths that are brought to the team. And then also, you know, you don't want to just live on an adrenaline seesaw, right? Where we are so task driven, we're so productivity driven. When we score, we have these huge spikes in adrenaline that are super addictive. And so we're kind of always on that seesaw of let me score the next point so I can get the adrenaline rush. And along the way, you still have to find a way to fill your emotional cup and to let people fill your emotional cup. And I think that's one of the things that falls along the wayside when we do see substance abuse and burnout and broken relationships and suicidality. I think there's not been a way for that person to have their emotional cup filled along that adrenaline-filled seesaw journey.
Your book is out. It's called Blow Your Nose to Work Smarter, Live Freely, Create Legacy. I want to know everything about this beautiful book after one word from our sponsors.
What if your business would run well even when you are on vacation? Discover how 1,600 business owners have regained their freedom using the Strategy Sprints blueprints. How they enjoy living their dream and watching their business scale. Get the exact checklists they use to go from stressed to fulfilled using the Strategy Sprints method. Order your copy of Strategy Sprints 12 Ways to Accelerate Growth for an Agile Business on Amazon today. And if you love it, leave us a review. For more information, head over to strategysprints.com.
Why the book, and what was the process of starting the book?
So I run a lot. I run with different groups of people, and those runs really become, you know, a little bit social, but it's a lot of high achieving individuals. And so we have a lot of great conversations. And the term blow your nose really came, there's the first couple of pages kind of explain it, but it really came from this process of, gosh, you know, you just carry around all this weight and these limiting beliefs and these patterns of doing things, and they just get in your way. And so we need to clear all of those things out, kind of the same way when you're running on a cold morning and you just need to blow your nose, but you don't want to stop and do it.
I did it five times today during the run, five times.
It's the same thing, right? And so the book came about because as I was learning throughout several years of some traumatic events that affected me, that really forced me to not necessarily slow down, but change the way I was being productive and incorporate more things into my life that helped me be more empathy centered and more intuitive centered. And what I found came out of that is is really big changes in relationships, in my parenting, in how I coach teams, just really in every aspect of my life. And so the book is a very interactive book that's full of stories and quizzes and these exercises, because I think that's a fun way to learn. I think we all spend all day on very complex things, and it's nice to have a light, easy, fun read that makes us think a little bit differently about, oh, how can I have this conversation with my teenager? Or how can I have a difficult conversation with my spouse? And how do I support people in a better way? So that's how it came to be.
How was your process of selecting the team, editors, publisher, etc.? Was it easy?
You know, Simon, this goes back to this hyper-independence problem that we all have. I tend to kind of want to do things all on my own. No, I did select a publisher that is associated with Simon & Schuster, which I really love that because I think highly of them. And I did a lot of the rest of it myself. In fact, I'm about to do the audio and I'm really struggling with, do I do the professional narration on my own or do I hire it out? Because again, what do we like to do? We like to do everything ourselves, right? It's still a journey.
Totally. And, you know, one voice is saying, hey, I want my voice being my brand and I want to be in their ear. And the other voice is saying, yes. Oh, come on, outsource it. They're better. And it's a hustle.
Exactly. They're professionals. I'm not a professional at this. That's right.
Amazing. Can you give us an example of a quiz or one of these engaging parts of the book?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's one really interesting story. You know, I was at one point during writing this, I have a teenage daughter. And, you know, I talk about there was a period of time where I was really struggling with our relationship. She was just more withdrawn, more in her room, things of that nature. And it really was a difficult journey for me to figure out how do I connect with her as this phase is happening. And so there's a whole story in the book where I'm talking to another mom and she's relaying the same information to me. And her whole premise is, oh, my teen, I'm so worried about her because she's withdrawn and she's just not connecting. And I just think all of these bad things are happening. And oh my gosh, what do I do? And I said, you know, all of those thoughts, again, come from this fear-based, control-based mindset, right? Where we want our teen to be exactly what we think they need to be. And I said, you know, what if there's nothing wrong with your teen at all? What if this is a new phase in her development? And I said, how do you feel when your teen is upstairs in their room and not wanting to interact with you? And she finally said, I feel really sad. And I said, yeah, maybe it's time for mom to get some new hobbies because maybe you just need to let go a little. And she just looked at me. And, you know, it was a more involved conversation than that. But she came back about 2 weeks later and she said, thank you so much. That is the best advice I've ever received. I backed off. I got busy with my own things. I let her know I was there for her, but I stopped hounding her. And you know what? She has started coming to me. We're having these amazing conversations. Our relationship has totally turned around. And it was really just all about changing that mindset from controlling the situation to having some empathy and setting, you know, stepping back.
Beautiful. How can people be part of your journey so they can grab the book, Blow Your Nose to Work Smarter, Live Freely, and Create Legacy? Where can they see your work on a regular basis?
Yeah, thanks, Simon. So I'd love to offer your audience some free downloads of the book. So for the first 10 people that email me at suzanne@sage21.live, that's SUSANNE at sage, SAGE 21.live with the subject free book, I will send them a free download code where they can download the ebook. And sage21.live is my website with more information.
Oh, that's beautiful. We love presents. And what's next? You are now on book tour. You are on book tour, I guess.
Yeah, I'm starting that process. And you know what I think is next, Simon? I really want to develop a lot more quizzes that are online. I think there's so many times we have blinders on and we don't know that we have blinders on. Maybe we have some narcissistic traits and we don't even know it. And so I want to develop some fun quizzes that are just part of that self-discovery process.
Oh, that's fun. I can imagine YouTube videos where you invite us to reflect about a topic. Hey guys, maybe we're a little bit narcissistic, and then here, take the quiz, you will know. And I would click it.
I love it, yes.
What's your favorite social media? Where can people hang out with you?
I am probably most active on IG right now. And, you know, I'm working my way towards TikTok and all the things. I think TikTok is where it's all at. That's what everyone tells me. That's where all the information is now. So
that's the thing. I thought it's X. X is where it's happening.
Yeah. X is a bit controversial right now, right? Who knows what will happen?
It's so wild. I'm there every day. It's really wild. It's like the 70s. Everything is happening there. Riots, parties, festivals, everything.
That's right. Yeah. And you're right in the middle of it? Is that what you're saying, Simon?
Yes. I go to the wild places, of course.
I love it. Very good.
Okay. So it's Instagram. And is it your name? How can people find you on Instagram?
Yeah, Sage21 Live is my Instagram for the book. And and Sage21.live for the website.
Perfect. Thank you so much for sharing your journey, your book, your work with us. This is amazing. And these people listening right now are all super achievers. And I love how you reframe it from being overachiever, which has a negative touch, to actually shifting to super achievers, which also amplifies the people around them, right?
Yes.
And helps them be energetic and be healthy for longer. Beautiful. Yeah. Thank you so much. Please come back with your next book and have a great day.
Thank you so much, Simon. Bye.
Avoid trying to do thousands of things that doesn't work. We have 274 templates for your business success. Reach your ambitious goals with one-on-one sprint coach. We double your revenue in 90 days.
What if your business would run well even when you are on vacation? Discover how 1,600 business owners have regained their freedom using the Strategy Sprints blueprints. How they enjoy living their dream and watching their business scale. Get the exact checklists they use to go from stressed to fulfilled using the Strategy Sprints method. Order your copy of Strategy Sprints 12 Ways to Accelerate Growth for an Agile Business on Amazon today. And if you love it, leave us a review. For more information, head over to strategysprints.com.